Madcap Flare offers cutting-edge technical authoring and publishing capabilities for today's technical writers and content developers, with advanced features to maximize authoring efficiency, content reuse, and multi-channel publishing. By combining Madcap Central's cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management functionality, authors can improve content quality, gain greater insight into tasks and production schedules, work collaboratively with teams, host content, and automate processes. Madcap Flare and Madcap Central, combining the power of desktop authoring with cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management. Learn more at www.madcapsoftware.com.
This is the Cherryleaf Podcast.
Welcome to the Cherryleaf Podcast. This is the typical time for conferences. It's the autumn or fall time of the year, and it's when conferences for technical communicators tend to be scheduled. We've seen Write the Docs in Prague, Mad World in Prague, and also coming up, TCUK, which will be in Daventry in the Midlands in the UK. I attended the Mad World Conference in Prague, which was held between the 12th and 14th of September, and I made some recordings of the presentations. So in this podcast, what we're going to do is have a look back at that conference, have a look at some of the presentations that were made, and share some of the interesting things that people said. First up was the conference welcome. I've edited that down to highlight a few parts from the welcome speech from Anthony Olivier, who is the chief executive.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome to our very first Mad World European Conference. Thank you for joining us. For those who haven't met, my name is Anthony Olivier. I'm the founder and CEO of Madcap Software. And it's definitely been a great journey for us so far, and definitely not without the support and encouragement from all of you as our customers, so we really appreciate that. I would like to talk a little bit about our products and what can you expect from us on a go-forward basis. Hopefully a lot of you are aware of the recent update we did with Central, where we added a cloud-based web-based editor for contribution review with subject matter experts and the managers. And then we also just released a couple months ago, we had another update to Central, which allowed people to create custom URLs for their Madcap Central output. And so going forward, you can expect us to see continue to build out Central, continue to build out the lightweight editor that we added for the contribution review. You'll start to see a lot more functionality with respect to that. And a lot of other things planned, but I don't want to go into too much detail here, but a lot of other things planned for Central and integration with Flare and some of the other products as well. So obviously we like to believe we're the most innovative and forward-thinking provider in the industry. And while competitors are still on this annual release cycle, actually some competitors on an 18 to 24 month release cycle and still trying to play catch up from us a couple of years ago, we continue releasing updates and new features and functionality. And so, you know, rest assured, we're very forward-thinking in terms of looking at what's coming up in the industry, making sure that you as users are ready for that. We're ready to support the new technologies that are up and coming. So some of the things that we're currently working on the Flare side, we're looking at responsive content, not just responsive output, but actually content changing depending on the device that the customer or your end users are looking at. The content will adjust based on the format that they're viewing. Whether it be mobile devices, certain wording that will change based on if they're viewing it on a mobile device or viewing it on a desktop. So that's something new we're looking at and working on. The other thing we're working on is micro content. So, you know, right now everything's topic based. We're looking at shrinking that down to micro content authoring, or if you want to call it machine ready authoring for things like chatbots, augmented reality, where you have very small snippets of content information, you want to display those. So we're actually looking at a micro content or machine ready authoring within Flare. So be on the lookout for that.
The first presentation I saw was by Eloise Lewis of JHC Systems. called Using Madcap Flair to Write One Product for Different User Experiences. So this was how to write documentation where you had two products. In their case, one was a green screen, traditional mainframe type application, green screen user interface, and the other version being a classic mouse-driven GUI type system like you get with a Windows application or with a web-based application. And the challenges of writing documentation in that situation.
Welcome to my session this morning, which is all about using Madcap Flair to write for one product with two different experiences. In the next 1 hour, I'm going to save you 5 years of pain. I'll be sharing our team's experience, our team's 5 years of trial and error and changing methodologies, so that you can skip all of that and go straight to a single source solution that's user-friendly and easy to maintain. So in our case, we've got a product, it's a bit of financial software, and it's got two different looks and feels, two different user interfaces. That's our challenge. The solution you've got, though, is really flexible. So it can be used anywhere that you've got a product with variations that are different enough that you want to reflect that in the documentation, but not so different that you want to write separate topics or have separate help sites for them. So you could use it for things like a mobile app that looks slightly different depending on whether it's running on Android or iOS. You could use it for a product that's got, say, a left-handed installation or a right-handed installation. And it's not limited to two variations either. You could use it where you've got, say, multiple different release versions or multiple different models of a particular product.
What Eloise showed was a way of having within an individual help topic or page a drop-down selector. So you could select the different criteria that was relevant to you, whether you were a Chrome user or a Firefox user, if you were a green screen user, if you were a Windows user. And by selecting that on an individual page, then the information would change for that page to show the images that are relevant to that particular scenario, that particular installation. She showed how it's done and provided some demonstration projects that the delegates could download at a later date to try and to experiment with themselves. And the way in which it's done, which was a theme consistent through the conference, was to use JavaScript to build the technology to do this. The JavaScript is there to show and hide the content, depending on the item the user selects from the dropdown, and that sits in a JavaScript folder. Within Flair, you mark up text by different conditions to determine which items you want to show and hide upon different scenarios. They also created snippets, and that contains the drop-down selector box that appears in the topics, and it activates the JavaScript. So this means for the authors, they're not confronted or having to deal with any of the JavaScript. They just have effectively a standard topic and standard snippet within Flair. In the afternoon of the first day, there was a presentation by Thomas Bro Rasmussen on auto-numbering in Madcap Flair and some best practice advice for advanced technical writers.
Okay, good. There are two numbering systems in Flair. You probably know them already. There's the OL and there's the OUL. I am not touching on that at all. Not even close. I'm only interested in the building blocks out of the auto-numbering. So for those of you who thought I was going to talk auto-numbering in HTML lists, I will not be touching it at all. It might be that OLs and ULs are pretty good, but there are things they cannot do.
And Thomas's presentation was one of the most complex and dense presentations of those at the conference. It was an hour long, longer than some of the other presentations. And really it was talking about something specific to Flair. And that is that for some situations where you need to do numbering, the way that you can do ordered lists with HTML isn't good enough. And you need a more complex way to control things like the indents of numbered lists and the actual methods for numbering. And FrameMaker and also Madcap Flare have capabilities over and above the standard numbering that you get with HTML. Madcap Flare has the ability to enable you to define your own numbering schemes and to present or lay them out as you want them. So if you're a Flare user and you're interested in doing powerful numbering, maybe for legal documents and the like, then this was the presentation for you. And it would be worth talking to Thomas and getting some information from him on how you can use it, or referring to the Madcap Flare website and some of the blog posts on auto numbering or the user documentation. Although this is a conference organized by Madcap and has a lot of presentations about the products that they sell, there is also a tools neutral track. And one of the tools neutral presentations in the afternoon on the Wednesday was by Dr. Michael Fritz from TACOM in Germany, talking about Industry 4.0.
The subject of my presentation today is to explore what 4.0 really means, at least from the intentions, from the point of view of the people who developed Industry 4.0. And I would also like to discuss which implications Industry 4.0 will be having in the future on technical communication. This is something, what we often do, if there are buzzwords out, we examine, we study, and we try to discuss it with our members so that our members are a little bit ahead to recognize or to find out what the newest trends are and how they can adapt to be successful in their job in the future. To start with, please don't think that this here is a typo. Although many things in the fourth industrial revolution in the digital era are digital, e-health, e-learning, e-mobility, smart home, smart factories, and so on, the question is really, what is for Industry 4.0 then? And it's in fact something that was just created some years ago by the German government and by some German trade associations who wanted to bring forward some aspects of automatization in industrial processes. And when you talk about Industry 4.0, you should be really aware of this and make clear what you're talking about. For instance, we have friends, and I'm also a member of it, who run the Information 4.0 association. But if someone can claim the trademark, then it's a thing of what is called Platform Industry 4.0 in Germany now. There are other countries, like in France, for instance, where the industry associations also picked that up and are working on it. And I think it's worth discussing or going a little bit deeper into it to understand what it means, because, the forces behind Industry 4.0 are very powerful. For instance, Germany has a big agreement with China. The Chinese are also working on it, and I myself am in an international working group on Industry 4.0 with China, and China is also putting really a lot of money in it, and this will have implications for technical communication, and I'll show you.
So what Michael did was explain what Industry 4.0 is and the conceptual model that has been created to describe a factory that conforms to Industry 4.0. The idea of an administration shell that connects the different elements within a factory together, the idea of objects and assets, and within that, how can we embed or get user documentation into a compatible format or get it to slot in to the other objects that are within this Information 4.0 framework. And so the need to create a sort of architectural reference model for documentation.
Which takeaways have I found? I found information for use must be as configurable as the assets, and it must be delivered together with keys. Then information for use must be digital. Print is not very useful. Information for use should be integrated in the architectural model of Industry 4.0. Information for use must become part of the administration shell. That means it should become a partial model. And information for use needs is a property which should be assigned to the asset during the engineering process. These are my findings.
So that was the first day. And in the evening, Madcap arranged for a trip along the main river within Prague. So what's Prague like? Well, it's classically Central European. You've got a lot of Middle Age buildings, churches, towers from walled city times, cobbled streets, trams running through the middle, blocks of flats that you could see in Stockholm or Paris or Riga. Very much that's close living that you get in the compact cities within Central Europe. And then we moved on to the second day. For me, the second day started off with a bang with Daniel Ferguson's presentation on how to use advanced cascading style sheet selectors. Again, this is very useful, powerful knowledge to have if you're using Flare, but also if you're using other tools to create HTML, because you can apply the same CSS techniques in that situation also. Cascading Style Sheets 3 has several dozen different selectors and combinators that you can use to style up your documentation, to style up your web pages. And that can be within a Flare project or outside of those. And what Daniel did was he went through explaining a number of these different selectors and how you can use them to make sure your content is consistent and also to save time so that you worry less about trying to control the style and the look and feel of things like tables or headings within the text that you write, to worry less about that and let the cascading style sheet control that presentation of the information. And as he went through his presentation, he combined it with a project that, again, for the delegates that they could download, a CodePen project where he showed examples of different content and then what would happen when you applied the different selectors to that content.
All right, well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Welcome to day two of Mad World. I'm excited to have the chance to kick things off for you today and teach you a little bit more about CSS selectors. When I very first started using Flare about 5.5 years ago, one of the things that I enjoyed most about it was learning CSS. And I learned a lot about CSS and all sorts of properties and decorations and cool things you could do. And then I started learning about CSS selectors. And it opened up whole new worlds of what I was able to accomplish using CSS, not only just from a look and feel standpoint, like, you know, for example, making modifications to the skin that I couldn't make in the skin file, but also just in the way that it helped me to author more with more efficiency, because I wasn't spending as much time actually applying CSS classes to my content. I was pushing more of the work to the style sheet, right, and letting the style sheet do that work for me rather than my spending time actually going through and applying classes to my HTML elements and my topics. And so it really helped me to accelerate and be more efficient in my actual authoring. And I'm going to share with you today some of what I've learned with CSS selectors, and I hope that it is of value to you. So there are a lot of types of CSS selectors, a whole bunch of types of CSS selectors that can do really, really cool things. And what's even really cool is that you can combine selectors. For example, this child selector right here combines a class selector with this what's called a child combinator. We're going to talk about what that does later on in the session. We're going to go through all these types of selectors and what they do. We're going to look at examples of them. We're actually going to be working in hands-on here, looking at what these do, creating selectors like this, so that you can see how they work to select very specific elements on your page. This could be super, super handy. For example, if you use a descendant selector like this, OLOL, what that does is select ordered lists within ordered lists. So if you have nested ordered lists, and you want those to have a different style, maybe different spacing, different margins, different padding, different list number type, right? So they use lower alpha, for example, or list style type, lower alpha instead of Roman numeral or a decimal number, regular numbers, you can do that in the style sheet. So we're going to go through every single one of these. You're going to see how these work. And hopefully as we go through this, you're going to get some ideas on how you can apply these in your style sheet. Because the more you use these, the less time you're going to spend applying style classes.
Thank you very much for your tips about highlighting traditions.
And I'm going to skip to the last presentation that I saw on the second day, which was another standout. One which was called Interactive Wizards in Madcap Flair, which was another presentation by Eloise Lewis.
My session this afternoon is all about Interactive Wizards in Madcap Flair. And by the end of the session, you'll have everything you need to start creating your own interactive wizards within your own Flair projects. So when I talk about wizards, what do I mean? It's a kind of general term that's used for a situation where something very complex is taken and broken down into bite-sized chunks, which the user is then presented with step-by-step to help kind of take things through that process.
And Eloise described how they created a flowchart that mapped out all the potential questions and answers for this wizard and the different paths that users could take, where you did the planning and naming particular questions with a ID and particular web pages so they could track through and match that up when writing the code. And then once that flowchart had been developed, then start to work within Madcap Flair. And the way that they did it was to use a few tags and some cascading style sheets, but primarily writing a little bit of JavaScript code. So that's a flavour of the Mad World Europe conference. It was great fun, brilliantly organised by Madcap, and there was a lot of useful content, whether you're a Madcap Flair user or if you're using another tool to create web-based content. The recordings, I'm aware, are not of great quality, but I hope they give you a flavour of what's going on. If you were an attendee of the conference, they were recording the audios from the microphones directly from the speakers, so the delegates will have access to high-quality audio recordings, full recordings of all the presenters, plus the project files they provided, plus the slides. If you're going to TC UK, I might see you there. I'll see if I can record some of the presentations at that event and give you a sense or a flavour of that conference. Otherwise, we'll get back into the rhythm of other podcast episodes, interviewing people, talking about some of the topics on how you can become a better technical communicator. Until next time, thank you for listening.